D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Sunny Shore City, you're listening to the Underground Radio, bringing you all the very best Pokemon news and views this side of Twist Mountain. I'm Kent.
And I'm Sam. For today's broadcast, we'll be honoring the fourth birthday of the Pokemon podcast, as well as talking about our various times in Pokemon, reviewing a story we got on the Voltage Meter, and spotlighting one of the bug Pokemon from Generation 3. So sit back, relax, and give your Radio Rotom what it wants. So, Kent.
Good morning, Sam.
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. It just feels like a little repeat since we already asked ourselves how we were doing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always good to...
review, you know, and refresh on that sort of thing.
Exactly. So.
But yeah, it has been a very long time.
A very, very long time.
Yes. We've both been adulting it up pretty hardcore, it sounds, but sounds like we've both found some time here and there to find some Pokemon to fill our lives here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What have you been up to?
Well, as you probably know, the... Mew distribution event via the cards just ended recently, and so I went and picked up a bunch of cards from one of the GameStops, and so I have one for each of my games, and then I'm probably going to give the remaining ones away through, like, tournament play at my league.
Nice.
So that's gonna happen. That's gonna be a thing. And then, I've been, actually shuffling it up pretty hard. A lot of the, special events that have been, coming out lately, I've been, really trying to focus on those. But as far as the mainline game, I've been stuck on level 240 for a good long while. And for those that don't know or haven't gotten that far in Pokemon Shuffle, that's the Mega Medicham stage. So I'm still trying to work around that stage and figure out a good way to defeat it. I haven't been having too much luck yet.
Speaking of someone who has a Mega Medicham, I'm just going to say right now, Mega Medicham level sounds like a disgusting thing to deal with.
Oh yeah, well, like most of the Mega levels on Shuffle are pretty challenging, so. Yeah, it's been interesting to say the least. What about yourself, Sam? What have you been up to?
Well, I went out and other than my experiences over the last couple months, which I may or may not touch on a little later in the episode here for the main topic, I went out and actually got the Hoopas that they were releasing through the event there. Got all four of them, though I had to travel all over the FM area to be able to get them, because a lot of the McDonald's in the area that were distributing them were not allowing anyone to get them. And I was glad to see that it wasn't just me. It was several other people who were also having trouble with it. You know, misery loves company, that sort of thing.
Of course.
So I did manage to get them all, though. I went to the McDonald's on 45th, kind of by the overpass for the interstate, and they were ones that actually allowed me to connect to it. And, man, I hit up pretty much all of them in Fargo and even a couple in Minnesota that just they wouldn't let me do it. And I was starting to get really nervous, too, because I think I only acquired them on the second to last day that they were offering them. So
that's pretty impressive.
Yes, I cut it close super hard.
Yep.
So there was that. I also acquired some of the Muse as well. I walked into my GameStop, and it was kind of like with you. I got a bunch of cards. They were just like, yeah, so, you know, we know who you are, and we know that you've spent a lot of money here. How about some Mew cards? And I was just like, yes, I can deal with this. This is awesome. So there was that. I got all the Mew cards that I could ever want. And I also found out that Nateel also acquired one for herself, too, so I was super pleased about that.
Yes, excellent.
Yes. Yeah, she and I have kind of a special tie to that particular Pokemon because it was one that I sought out intensely hardcore in the original Generation 1 games when, of course, you couldn't get it except by glitching the games out, which I didn't know of at the time because I didn't have the internet back then. But, you know, it was... So didn't get it that time around. We both got ours for the 10th anniversary, and now we got it for the 20th anniversary, which is scary to think about that it's been 10 years since the last time I acquired a Mew, and it still only feels like yesterday that I got that thing.
Yeah, and it's the Mew, well, a lot of the special Pokemon distributions in general, it seems like they're very few and far between. I know that I'm actually still waiting on acquiring a Shaymin and a Manaphy in a legitimate manner, because I have never had either of those Pokemon. So when I say that I have a complete Pokedex, I'm actually only complete except for those two legendary Pokemon. So,
well, I've heard that they're supposed to be coming out along with Darkrai. I think was on the schedule to be released too, but I don't know. Darkrai, it's a cool Pokemon. It really is. But at the same time, it's just like you're a legendary Pokemon that I know is only available through certain, you know, events and stuff like that. But I've acquired several of you over the past couple years alone. And it's just like, yeah, that's cool. But please give me the Shaymin. I really want the Shaymin right now. So.
Right. Yep. Yeah. The Shaymin, you know, that would be one of the top priorities for me to collect. I think I got, probably four Darkrai in Generation 5.
Yeah.
So, yep.
And it just continues to build upon itself. The more copies of the game you actually acquire, the greater the chances you're just going to be like, well, this incredibly rare legendary Pokemon that I couldn't find and tried desperately to get, you know, 20 years ago, and now I've got like 8 of them, so.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Because you keep accumulating as you keep playing through. So, like, I know Josh would, you know, play through a game and then just dump, like, everything in his bank and then restart the game.
Yep.
And and just go like that. So.
But that's because Josh is amazing and a little terrifying when it comes to those video games.
It's true. It's so true.
But yeah, other than that, I also went into GameStop on the Pokemon 20 day that they had, and I got myself a Pokemon backpack. It's one of the hard shell Pokeballs
that nice. They have.
Yeah, I saw that and I was just like, yeah, I could totally go for one of those. I haven't had a backpack, like a legit one that was just on your back for a very long time. And I was just like, yeah, that looks kind of cool. I think I'll pick that one up. And sure enough, I got there. And when I talked to the GameStop sales rep there, he was just like, yeah, everything's been going pretty good. It's been a good day for pre-releases and stuff like that. Not as much of a big day for Pokemon as we may have guessed, but it's still been selling. So I was like, well, that's good. He was just like, yeah, and I know you and you buy a lot of stuff here, so would you like two of the posters instead of one? And I was like, sure, I can do that. So
nice.
Again, they're rewarding me for buying a whole bunch of stuff there. So that's
perfect.
Good.
That is good.
So there was that. I don't know. I've just been kind of kicking back and also playing my copy of Pokemon Yellow. Pokemon Yellow has been a huge thing for me in the last couple of days, especially now that I've had some free time to just sit and not worry about other things that are going on with a bunch of other stuff. So it's been nice to just sit and play and hear the old school sounds and see the old graphics. I mean, the Rattata that I caught looks like a Tauros when you look at it in the screen, and I'm just like, okay. But yeah, no, it's been fun. I know one listener in particular will appreciate this. I named the Pikachu that I got, and usually I don't nickname Pokemon. People who know and have played me in the past have known that I don't traditionally put nicknames to my Pokemon, but this one I totally nicknamed Ruby. So
nice.
Yes.
There you go.
So yeah, and then that's pretty much been about it. Other than, you know, what we're doing today. Today is kind of an important day for everything. Oh, speaking of important days, I also found out that it is also an important day for somebody else, and I'd just like to take the opportunity to say happy birthday, Kevin. We'll see you back in Fargo here in about a month and a half. So
yeah. All right.
Yeah. So then that should be... Yeah, that's been about everything I've got here. So if you're ready, I think we'll just move right on into the news desk.
Sounds good.
And now it is time for the news desk. News desk, I don't know, the Pokemon world has been kind of quiet in the last couple weeks, but there have been some big rumblings that they've been issuing forth without a whole lot of details, because they know that all they have to do is drop the word of Pokemon Sun and Moon and everyone's going to lose their minds.
Yep.
But
that's definitely been the big news lately is I was actually quite surprised that they did announce the beginning of Generation 7 as opposed to a third
installment.
Third installment of Generation 6.
Well, I was kind of surprised with that too, but you know, they have some pretty crazy stuff coming up. I think they've already kind of hinted at some new Pokemon that are coming out, and they've got bank support now again too, so it's showing that they've really invested in that, and that it's like their original plans way back in the day, which I think they literally quoted almost verbatim as saying it's something that we want for parents to be able to continue to enjoy the Pokemon games with their kids with. They definitely seem dedicated to keeping it going for the long term, so mm-hmm. It's good to see.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what new details come out about Sun and Moon over the next few months, leading up to the release specifically, which they didn't give an exact date for, but they did say that it would be sometime in the holiday season. So, I mean, that to me means somewhere between Thanksgiving and Christmas, possibly New Year's.
That'd be a cool time for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely a good time to be like, all right, happy Thanksgiving Christmas to me. Let's go out and get some Pokemon. And
yep.
So, yeah, it'll be a good time for that. And they also announced that it'll be compatible with any Pokemon that you ship up from the re-released virtual console versions of the original Red, Blue, and Yellow, which will also be super exciting. Speaking of which, virtual console, Red, Blue, and Yellow, that's also a thing.
Yes, it is. And I'm so stoked because, like, one of my biggest disappointments between Generation 2 and Generation 3 was the disconnect.
Yep.
And so that the fact that we can now go back and play the original generation of games and then transfer those Pokemon all the way up to the newest games is super exciting.
Right. Yeah, and as I was telling, again, Kevin this, I was just like, it's so exciting to be able to play Yellow again. I mean, and it's been about 20 years since I last played Yellow, so it's super exciting for that. And we also got to talking about it, too. Do you, like, it's hard to think about because you have so many variations in price and things like that, but can you even imagine how much it would cost you even a year ago to be like, hey, I have this incredible nostalgia, like, yearning, craving for playing one of the original three Pokemon games. How much is it going to cost me to be able to go out and acquire a copy of the game, the Game Boy, and any of the other required things that you would need to be able to play the original Pokemon games again? And the price would be probably staggering, but
it's... Well, I wouldn't have that much of an issue with it because I never got rid of any of it. But no, you are spot on. Like, I think the original Game Boys probably run anywhere from between like $30 and $60, and then you're looking at probably a similar price tag for any of the original games. So, I mean, you're looking at possibly upwards of like $120 just to play one game.
That's not even
depending on where you go.
Any batteries that might have gone dry in all the carts, right, too. So then you have to replace the batteries and everything if you want to keep it going long term.
Yep.
And yeah, so yeah, getting the whole game for a fraction of the cost, and you get to play all of the new stuff that's coming out too. I mean, I'm totally going to toot something other than Pokemon right now for this one, but the new Fire Emblem games that came out, those have been super exciting. You know, the Super Smash Brothers, you know, maybe in Gen 7 they'll be able to do some of the amiibo support now so that you can use your actual Pokemon amiibos in something other than Smash Brothers. Not saying that Smash Brothers isn't great, I'm just saying I've got a Charizard, and I want to be able to move the Charizard around from other things. And I think it would be cool to just be like, all right, Charizard, stick him on my DS, and we've got a Charizard. Let's do this.
That would be pretty awesome.
I was kind of disappointed, though, that they didn't have a Blastoise yet. So,
yet. So that actually brings up an interesting point, because I forget who it was. It might have been like you and I talking. But apparently, like, the amiibos are numbered, and there is like a giant gap, like, in the numbering system, like 721 missing gap.
Interesting.
So that that says to me that at some point they are intending some form of amiibo for all of the Pokemon. And whether that translates into like the little figurines, like, I can't imagine having 721 like Pokemon amiibo figurines. That would be a lot. But
that would be insane.
But whoever I was talking with was saying that there's a possibility that they might do like a card kind of thing. So like you would have a particular Pokemon card that doubles as an amiibo.
Oh, sure.
So I thought that would be actually pretty interesting because, like, 700 Pokemon cards, like, that's practically nothing. Like, I think I have probably thousands. So.
Yeah. Speaking of Pokemon cards, I also did a Pokemon Day at the library in October. So that was kind of cool. And what I did for that one was I decided, hey, I've got enough bulk cards in my life. And I removed all of the cards that were especially valuable or had some kind of personal connection to me. Like, I still kept a lot of the original cards that I acquired when I was younger, and I kept things like the Pokedex and the Master Ball and a bunch of other special cards like that, and I bundled them up, and I gave a lot of the kids out these massive chunks of just bulk cards that I had. And, you know, it wasn't a nothing number either. Like, each one of those kids walked away with something to the tune of, like, 250 Pokemon cards. And they got to do that, and I built decks out of the cards that I had specifically for some of the kids who were stuck around for the learning how to battle portion of it. And the kids were super, super excited about everything. It was really fun to see. Like, they all had a really good time, and a couple of them even waited until afterwards to challenge me to a Pokemon battle with some of their own Pokemon cards that they brought, just because they knew that they'd be able to battle with them. And that was also kind of funny. I've totally used the Empoleon deck, and it was a teeny bit one-sided, only a teeny bit, but it was still really fun. They got a kick out of it. I had a lot of kids calling me professor, and that was also kind of exciting.
That's awesome.
Totally wore the lab coat, and a couple of kids commented on the Dragonite lapel pin that I was wearing, so that was also really cool. I was just like, you kids know what Dragonite is? That's so exciting. I think one of my favorite moments of that whole day, though, was there was this one little girl, and she was super shy and, like, holding on to her mom and everything the entire time. And I saw that she was wearing a shirt with, she was wearing, like, a little jacket over her shirt. The jacket was a Pokemon one, and the shirt was a My Little Pony one. And I had a minor meltdown over everything that was going on about it. I was just like, oh, you know, I totally like your Pinkie Pie and your Rainbow Dash, and I also like that you've got a Meowth and a, like, a Pidgey and everything on your jacket. And she just lit up after that. Like, she was so much better about everything. She really enjoyed herself, and she totally fist bumped me too. So that was really cool too.
That's awesome.
Right? So it was really cute. And it was really awesome. The library, they totally enjoyed everything that I did for it. And I'll get a little bit more into that later on in the main topic here. But yeah, otherwise, that's been what's going on with news there for Pokemon. But I suppose Celebi event as well.
Yes, Celebi is going on right now, and it'll be available through, I want to say, the end of the month, somewhere like right around the 24th?
Okay.
Something like that.
It's just over Wi-Fi, too, right? Like, it's not anything that you have to specifically go to a McDonald's for, but yes.
Yep. Here, actually, hang on, and I will pull up the page here, and we can kind of run down the distribution months and methods that we have left. Celebi, yep, it's through the 24th, and it'll be over the Nintendo Network, so over Wi-Fi. And then in April, from the 1st through the 24th, it'll be Jirachi. That'll also be over Wi-Fi.
Man, I remember back in the day I had Jirachi coming out of my ears.
Yeah, I bet you had the bonus disc, didn't you?
I had the bonus disc, and also when they re-released Jirachi for Gen 4, I think it was, I had all three copies of Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, and I also had the two remakes for Johto as well, Soul Silver and Heart Gold. So yep. I was able to get five more Jirachi. I think I traded away like four Jirachi to people, and I was just like, all right, so here's four Jirachi. You guys can have fun. I'm going to enjoy these random Pokemon that I got in return, because these Jirachi, I've got so many Jirachi. I think I've still got those other three Jirachi just hanging out in my inventory in the box somewhere. So
that's awesome. So then the next distribution will be May 1st through 24th. That'll be Darkrai, and that will be through GameStop. So I'm guessing that's going to be another code card event.
Okay.
And then in June, which is awesome because that's my birthday month, is one of the Pokemon I talked about earlier that I needed. It's going to be Manaphy.
Nice.
And that'll be over the Wi-Fi Nintendo Network.
Oh, that'll be good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then, would you look at that? July is going to be a Shaymin distribution over Wi-Fi. So
nice.
Between June and July, I'll be able to finally complete my Pokedex.
Very cool.
So then Arceus is going to be an August distribution, and that will be through GameStop. So again, looking at cards to pick up in stores. September is going to be Victini, and that'll be over Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I'm looking at the moveset here, though, and it doesn't have V-Create.
No V-Create, huh?
No V-Create for us this time around. So.
Okay.
October is going to be Keldeo over Wi-Fi. And November will be Genesect from GameStop. So another card distribution there. And then finally rounding out the end of the year is Meloetta, and that'll be over Wi-Fi.
Man.
So
I wonder if I even acquired any of the Meloetta that I downloaded from Gen 5. I think I did. I think they're all still sitting in the box somewhere.
I picked up one and transferred it over to Gen 6 just because I wanted to have a Meloetta in Gen 6. But yeah, that's Meloetta is one of those Pokemon that I haven't really done any play testing with at all. It just kind of sits in the box.
It sits so. There and looks pretty. That's what it's there for.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm kind of pleased that they're going to be releasing Arceus again. So
yeah,
that's kind of cool. I remember way back in the day, I think I was only ever able to acquire the two of them from that special download event that you could get. They popped into the Entralink forest.
Yeah.
And then you could go and get them. I remember one of them, I rolled something specifically for a Steel-type Arceus, and so I saved that one and set it off to the side, and then I've also got another one that I have for general purpose use. So maybe this time around I'll be able to roll something that will be more for specific typing? I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
So. And you were also telling me earlier this morning that there are supposed to be the golems being distributed as well?
Yeah, so the the Generation 3 Golems, the Regis, are going to be distributed by Pokemon Bank. And so, as long as you log in between March 4th and October 31st with an XY, Omega Ruby, or Alpha Sapphire, you'll be able to get one of each golem with their hidden abilities. So,
you know,
Regirock's ability is Sturdy, Regice's is Ice Body, and Registeel has Light Metal.
I've been kind of waiting on those for a while, too, for their hidden abilities for that.
Yeah, because that's... Like the hidden abilities have become not so hidden in normal Pokemon, but anytime we get a legendary Pokemon with a hidden ability, it's kind of a big deal because they don't happen very often.
It's like once in every 19,000 blue moons. So
yeah, yep. Well, because so, like they had. The ones that you could get off the Dream Radar.
Yep.
But that's really been more or less it as far as, like, the hidden ability legendaries. So.
Yeah, everything else is drawn a blank for me, too, so.
Yeah.
It'll be good. We'll see how it goes.
Definitely.
And we've definitely got a little bit of time. March through October, that's 7 months, so.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to do it, Kent, but I'll try to remember to log in and
I'll
bank at some point.
I'll remind you. Don't worry about that.
So, yeah, that's what we've got for news. It's going to be a good year for a lot of Pokemon fans to be able to acquire their stuff. And maybe now that I know that there are going to be some things coming up that are probably going to be code cards through GameStop, I'll hang on to a couple of the codes here and there to see if anyone who may have missed any on the first run through can still get one or two.
Yeah, because that's, I know specifically with the Mew distribution, it's already done. They're done distributing cards, but you'll still be able to pick it up through, I think, the end of May.
Yep.
So, yeah, if you missed out on picking up a card, you know, there's still a chance, but I'm gonna put in the plug. You're gonna have to come to League and participate somehow. So
there you go. All right. Well, that is news, and we are then going to head right into the main topic for today, which is all about our fourth year, and going on into year 5. It is now time for the main topic, which, for those of you who have either been brand new to the podcast here, or if you've been listening since a few months before since a few months after the podcast has started, a bit of foreshadowing there. I hope that the person who wrote that particular letter to us is listening and hears her words being used again, and that is that it's the anniversary episode for the Underground Podcast, and it's always been a special day in my heart for the last, 5 years now, that we've done, whether it be with Natil and I, or Josh and I, or Kent and I, we've gone through and we've kind of recapped on the year, and we've kind of reminisced about some of the things that have been going on. This year I did it's been much easier to calculate the stats for the podcast for the last year, because we had a grand total of 4 episodes from March of 2015 to March of 2016. And I had to think way too hard on whether it was 2016 or 2015 in that last sentence, because it has been a time. But, so yeah, 4 episodes, averaged out 1 every 3 months. One of them is still yet unpublished, and that is one that I will most definitely work on, because I was looking back through the show notes to see which ones it was that we did, and it was the Kingdra episode. And I totally need to put out the Kingdra episode, because that was a cool episode. It really was.
Yeah.
The other episodes that we did, I think I liked to I named pretty much every episode from year 4 after songs, actually, because one of them was, it was actually the unpublished one, was I Just Can't Wait to Be Kingdra, and then there was another one, You Say You Want an Evolution, and I just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of one of the things I like to do with the episode titles, is to kind of make them a little punny here and there. Sorry,
yeah.
Kevin. but yeah, and we also had some, the topics there, even though they were far and few between, were incredible. Like, I still enjoy the fact that I actually went around and after 4 years of doing the podcast, finally did the Dragonite episode.
Yes!
Which,
the Dragonite
episode was so good too. I think that was the 90th episode as well. So it was one of our milestone ones, and this is 92. So in a mere 8 episodes, we'll have actually hit the goal of 100 that I set for myself. So
there we go.
That'll be a good one. And I'll have to, like, I think I even remember having this conversation with you on the podcast about this very fact. I'm going to have to go out and try and hunt down some people. Maybe I can talk to certain people in certain corporate circles and maybe get a certain person to do something. Maybe. We'll see if I can possibly get around that particular hurdle. But
Nudge, wink, wink.
but even if I can't, we'll still have said person there in spirit, because that person definitely has been absolutely irreplaceable to the history of the show and the history of Pokemon in this area and Texas and now in their company. So,
yeah.
We'll definitely look into that. And then, year 5. To be absolutely honest, I did not think that year 5 was going to actually be a milestone to be met. It has definitely been a long time since we had the last episode. And I know a lot of it has been things that get into later, but one of the major motivating factors was that you, Kent, you and I had a 15-hour time gap in what time of day it was on the face of the earth, and that made recording just a little bit difficult.
Yeah, that was really really interesting.
Yes,
being 15 hours apart, because that's always difficult to try and coordinate, when somebody might be, just waking up and the other person is just going to bed.
But but now you're back in North Dakota and you're back within the scope of being able to do stuff for time zoning and stuff like that. Time zones are just an awful mess for my brain to try and comprehend. but we've got you back now. And with that, we could look into a more stable recording schedule from that point on.
Definitely.
But what else have you been up to while you've been out and about in your 15-hour time zone differences and such?
Honestly, that it was a good opportunity for me to really dive into Pokemon Shuffle and kind of, I guess, build up. I don't know necessarily that I would call it skill. It seems like a lot of it is luck. There's only a handful of stages that actually require puzzle solving. One of them that comes readily to mind is Kling Klang. Because there's, in order to clear that stage, you have to have exactly 5 moves to clear out the metal blocks, and then that'll set off a chain reaction that'll clear the rest of the stage for you. But honestly, with the rest of it, they level up to I think level 10 is where they max out. So a lot of it is just playing through, grinding, trying to build up the levels. Then after you level up those Pokemon, then their base power also increases. So whatever matches you make, they do more damage to the opposing Pokemon. Working on completing the Living Pokedex. I made a lot of good progress there. I think I made it through the Generation 3 Pokedex. I'm either in Gen 3 or Gen 4 right now. And really the biggest help with that has been the Blissey secret bases. I finally just got so fed up with level grinding that I was like, because I wanted to get every Pokemon to the exact level where they evolved, and that's just way too much work. So yeah. I was like, all right, we're gonna go find a bunch of level 100 Blissey bases, and we're just gonna knock this out. And that's been probably the biggest help in finishing up that process. So
nice.
Yep. So what about yourself, Sam? What were you up to?
Well, I definitely had a time of things from when we last recorded, which would have been sometime in, I think it was in August, wasn't it, that
yep.
we recorded? So about August, I had quite a lot of things happen to me, and not a whole lot of them were Pokemon related. It was mostly life stuff that came up. And one of them, earlier this winter, I super, super badly injured myself to the point I super badly injured my back, and it made it very difficult to do much of anything except kind of lay on my floor and not want to deal with anything at that point. But feeling a lot better now. Still a little not happy with my back at times, but stretching and making sure everything is taking it easy, that sort of thing, has been working out. So no longer in pain from the act of walking. So that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yes. I also had a big job change when I was out and about. The library and Lens Crafters both offered me some positions, or rather, the library was in consideration for me to be in a position, but at the same time, Lens Crafters, they had an opening for the lab, and they've talked to me about it and said, you know, hey, if you really wanted to, you know, we have this position where you'd pretty much do the exact same thing as you're doing now, but we'd maybe want you to work an extra 10 hours a week in the lab making lenses for patients who come and get those ordered. And if you'd be willing to do that, we'd totally be willing to bump you up to full time here and give you benefits and everything, if that's something you're really interested in. And that was shocking. I did not expect that to happen. My cousin Jennifer totally said it something to the fact of, well, she laughed first, and I was just like, oh, what's up? And she was just like, oh, nothing, Sam. You just, oh, hey, why don't you just have this full-time job here? We'll just offer this to you right off the street there. And I was just like, yeah. But so yeah, that was really good. I had a lot of stuff happen for me there. I'm still kind of on a probationary period before the benefits for the position can fully kick in yet, but it's looking like I'd have the option to buy insurance plans through the company, and I'd have PTO. And for those of you who have PTO, you and have never not had PTO before, I guess, man, do not take that stuff for granted, because not having it and then going to having it is just a magical idea that you can actually have vacation time where you're paid to not be at your place. Like,
yeah.
That was something that was completely outside the realm of possibility for me to think about until a month and a half ago. So
that's awesome, man.
Yes. So that's good. So everything worked out pretty well there. I've also been doing a lot of stuff with some other projects of mine. A friend of mine, Kevin, who is coming back to Fargo, he and I have been playing a lot of Destiny, and that's been pretty cool too. My cousin Jennifer, who I just talked about, and I, she made a clan on Destiny, and I joined it, and she's been taking me through on some raids there, and I've been hanging out with Kevin, and I've been meeting some really interesting people on Xbox Live, so I've been kind of branching myself out and talking to other people, and that's been super cool. And, I mean, Kevin will be coming back here fairly soon as well, so that'll also be awesome. It's been... Well, he moved out there to Seattle to do stuff with the Microsoft main office out there, and now he'll be coming back, and we're super excited to see him. It's sounding like it's kind of ironic, because he took off, and now he's coming back, and it's sounding like not only will he be getting the same position that he'll have had with the company there again, but he'll also be moving back into the same place that he was again. And, you know, it'll almost be like he never left at all. And
awesome.
It's kind of cool it's how everything kind of lined up for him to the point where now he'll be back here. I also found out a couple of things that are kind of sad, but really awesome at the same time. My friend Ben Nelson, who is the owner of the league that meets at Paradox on Today's, he is going to be moving back to his, I say it's a hometown, but I don't know if you can consider Minneapolis like a hometown. Like, I keep thinking of like Lisbon, North Dakota, or Minot, or places like that. Just moving back to your hometown. Hey, I'm coming back, and you know he's moving back to the big city anyway. But
right.
He also applied to head out to the University of Arizona for a grad program there for art with an emphasis in printmaking, and so I'm super excited about that. It's sounding like he is wanting to go there and do his studies, and then possibly use that to instruct people in printmaking. I think
That'd
he was
be pretty
talking
awesome.
About being a professor, so he would literally be Professor Ben Nelson. So that's super exciting. I mean, it's kind of sad that, you know, he'll be moving out sometime in May, But at the same time, you know, he's going out and he's going to be doing some amazing things with what he is doing. And, you know, he's an incredibly talented artist and he will do really well out there or really in anything that he does. So
yeah,
that'll be good. I've also taken the opportunity to be working on some projects of my own, and the people who I've told about those projects will know what I'm talking about. And by the way, Kent, at some point, I already told Josh that I'd tell him about it, but I also need to tell you about it as well. And hopefully, with any luck, and with, you know, probably a whole lot of letters that get sent out to people from to probably all over the country to see who will look into it as well. Maybe I'll be able to share the fruits of my labor with you guys on the podcast, maybe by the time that these 6-year time of the podcast comes around. And that would be super cool. But
yeah,
I'm going to keep that under the rug for right now, and we'll see where it takes me so far. Hopefully, with any luck, year 5 anniversary episode heading into year 6, I'll be able to share some really awesome news with you guys. But
till then, you'll just have to wait.
Till then, you'll just have to wait. yeah, and I've also been talking with Natil. Haven't heard too much from her on the podcast here. She's been quite busy as well. For those of you who have been following her on Facebook or haven't been, she now works at the radio station in Fargo. And she's literally doing stuff that we're doing here, but she's getting paid for it. And she does a fantastic job on the radio there. And, you know, she's, it sounds like she's been doing really well the last times that I've been talking to her. So that's good. And, you know, if she ever wants to come back and maybe do an episode of the podcast, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, I would be the last person ever to say no. So, yeah. Just thank you guys for listening, and thanks to everyone who I've had help me with the podcast for sticking it out with me for 4 years now. And, you know, for anyone who does want to come back to the podcast to help out, Natil, and I don't know, Josh probably can't at this point, but if he ever wants to, if he ever, you know, God forbid, quits the Pokemon Company, I will have him back in a heartbeat as well. And thanks for listening, and, you know, we'll be able to get back into the swing of things here in year 5, and hopefully with the release of Pokemon Sun and Moon, and believe me, I'm going to make a lot of references to Celestia and Luna for this one. So for those of you who aren't MLP fans, you're probably going to get deluged with a lot of references for that, but you'll just have to deal with it. We'll continue onward, and hopefully when year 6 rolls around, we'll be able to enjoy some more time together, hopefully with a new Gen 7 Pokemon game on the horizon. I'm still personally kind of holding out for a Gen 4 remake game, because that was by far one of the coolest games to have come out in terms of just sheer weight of the lore that it had. And yeah, thanks for listening to me talk on about stuff, and we'll head right on into, I can't even tell what the next topic is because I took my glasses off.
It is the voltage meter.
Voltage meter. So yes, we'll finally be able to hear from the person who I've been alluding to this entire episode, and we'll see what it was that she had to say and what kind of stars that she left for us on iTunes. And now we have the voltage meter. It has been a while since we've gotten one of these, but as always, we are very happy to hear them. And we've actually gotten one from someone who I've been waiting to hear from for a very long time, because she is one of our oldest listeners, like, oldest listeners to the point of being invested in it as about as long as Nateel and I have. And this is from Emily Myers, who wrote The Underground Rocks. Haha, get it? And she gave us 5 stars. She wrote, I've been listening to this podcast since a few months after it first started, and I've yet to leave a review. I'm a bad fan. No, you're not, Emily. You are one of the best fans, and we always appreciate hearing from you. Anyway, long story short, The Underground has provided me with constant entertainment during long days at work and on long drives, and it has always helped me to keep up on what is going on in the Pokemon world, even when I've been too busy to play the games regularly. The hosts are extremely well-versed on the video and card games, and never cease to impress with their knowledge of strategies and the Pokemon universe itself. The podcast has gone on hiatus a few times, which is a shame, but I understand that real-life concerns come up before a free podcast, and I'm honestly just glad whenever I see a new episode on my feed, because I know that no matter how long the wait, the show will be of the same quality. Love the discussions, the insight, the banter, and the community and the rapport that The Underground has established with their fans. Keep on keeping on, Emily.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
And now it is time for the Pokemon Spotlight. This week's spotlight is on number 290, Nincada. Nincada, the trainee Pokemon, is the first evolutionary form of the split evolution line of Ninjask and Shedinja, the only Pokemon to evolve into two Pokemon in existence, and was first discovered in its native Hoenn region.
Nincada is also the very first wild shiny Pokemon I ever encountered, so it's got a special place in my heart for that one.
That's pretty awesome. Nincada lives underground and can sometimes hide there for upwards of 10 years, drawing sustenance from trees until it's ready to evolve. It's very nearly blind and uses its antenna to sense its surroundings instead.
And just a little irony here, and I didn't realize this when I was looking Nincada up until I actually looked up what its stats were. In spite of its status as an unevolved Pokemon, Nincada has a base defense stat of 90. To put that into perspective, that's the same amount of defense as Pokemon the likes of Gyarados. So, not only is that stunningly high compared to its other base stats, because its next highest is exactly half of that in attack, Nincada also breaks the irony ceiling by having its sum base stat totals actually outweigh its evolved form, Ninjask, by a total of 30.
That's pretty ridiculous. All right. Interestingly, for a Shedinja to evolve from Nincada, one is required to have a Pokeball in one's inventory, as well as an empty space in your party. And when we say Pokeball, we mean the basic red and white kind. Only in Generation 3 did Shedinja copy the Pokeball that the base Nincada was in. So beyond Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald, it's impossible to legitimately obtain a Shedinja, even one podcaster's shiny kind, anything other than a basic Pokeball.
Nincada are almost always gateway Pokemon for trainers seeking a Ninjask or a Shedinja for, I mean, extremely good reasons. If you've ever seen videos of Ninjask boosting set up in a sweep, Nateel, or Shedinja, Josh, but all things aside, Nincada have a rather surprisingly varied moveset to work with. So for anyone who wants to fight with just using basic Pokemon, here's your thing. They can use some support moves like Roost, Hone Claws, Sunny Day, and Sandstorm. They can also learn Spite by breeding. But they also learn some pretty surprisingly awesome attacks for an Incada, which is basically a blind bug that lives underground, like Solar Beam, X-Scissor, Dig, Shadow Ball, Bug Buzz, Night Slash, and Final Gambit. So definitely something that I was super not expecting.
Yeah, no, Incada and its evolutionary forms are actually pretty impressive. I will say, though, I was pretty underwhelmed. I did try and build a special Shedinja, and it did not work well.
Oh no!
I'm trying to remember if it was what the nature on it was, but I mean, I'd have to look up the base stat total for Shedinja, but from what I remember, its attack stat is high enough that really the more viable options are going to be a physical attacker.
Okay.
So.
Attacking Shedinja.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Shadow Ball and I think I might have had Bug Buzz on it, but yeah, it didn't have quite enough punch, so
okay.
Yeah, I would definitely go with X-Scissor and and you know, things like that. So.
Sure. But yeah,
yep.
So that's Nincada. If you guys have any other comments or suggestions, maybe you've happened to use a special attacking Shedinja, or maybe even, and this is incredibly unlikely, a special attacking Ninjask, or something to the effect where it's kind of thrown us for a loop and we'd love to hear about it. Just let us know through any of the usual methods, either Facebook, Twitter, or the mailbox, and we'd be happy to look into it for you. All right, and it is time once again for Question of the Week. For this week's question, we have a question that I would hope that a lot of our listeners will be able to answer, and hopefully you guys have been playing on and rocking through pretty well. If you guys have any battle requests, you have to give me a while, but I will battle you in Gen 1. what version of the old classic games did you pick up first?
I'll confess here, I actually haven't bought the Virtual Console games yet, but the first one is definitely going to be Blue, because that was my first game when they originally came out back in 1998 here in the U.S., and so that's... Just for the pure nostalgia factor, that's going to be the first one that I pick up. And I don't know, I may pick up... I'm going to pick up the other two. I don't know if it's going to be at the same time or if I'm going to wait and play through Blue first a little bit and then go download the other two. But at some point, I will have all three.
Nice. Yeah, and... Now that we can trade wirelessly and everything, we can totally get the complete Pokedex on Red, Blue, and Yellow, too, which is
yes.
Another thing kind of on my bucket list for a long, long, long time. That has just been buried deeper just because I don't have the ability to do it, but now I do. So
right. Yeah, that was one of my my 10-year-old crowning achievements was completing the 150... Pokemon Pokedex.
That's awesome.
Yep. So, what about you, Sam?
Yellow, all the way, because that was the first Pokemon game that I ever had. It's not the first game I've ever played. The first game I ever played was Pokemon Red, but it was definitely Yellow was the first one that I owned, and yes, it has also been a fantastic nostalgia factor, hearing the Pikachu say Pikachu at the beginning screen. I just kind of lost it there because I forgot all about that.
Yep.
And yes, very soon it's also going to be Red and Blue version, because those are a couple of games that I've also longed to own for a good long while, but it just kind of kept getting, again, pushed further and further down the list, and now I can actually own them. So,
there you go. Perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, for everyone else listening, if you, whether you haven't bought your copy yet, or if you already own all three of them, you know, whichever the case may be, let us know which was the version that you picked up first, or, you know, which third of the games that you picked up first. I don't know how fast the download speed was, but just let us know, either through Facebook, through Twitter, through the D20 Radio Network forums, or through the podcast website, the email account. We'd love to know what it was, and hopefully we'll be able to see you guys online and be able to battle you at some point.
Yeah. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, you can find back episodes of The Underground on iTunes or at our website, theundergroundpodcast.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to the show via the iTunes store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or rating on iTunes. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send them with the nearest Delibird to our mailbag. Or you can just email us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. We'd also love to hear your bumpers. Just record an MP3 of yourself telling us that you dig the underground and send it in. We'll play it at the top of the next episode. Please join our discussions over on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums.
Please join us again next week when we stock up on nostalgia bars and review the re-released Kanto Pokemon games. So until next time, Pokemon fans, remember that our secret base is always open to you, if you can find it.
The Underground Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 unported license and is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Pokemon is a registered trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, 4Kids Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast. Music used in the show comes courtesy of the OC Remix album, The Missing Note Tracks. These songs and thousands more can be found at www.ocremix.org. All original audio, textual, graphical, and video content associated with the Underground Podcast are the sole copyright intellectual property of Nateel Erickson and Samuel Ranke in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network.